It's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. Sure, take a deep breath. Have another hit of fresh air.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cuff, hippie cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. Great to see you, Bob. I'm out here in Portland, and I see you're out in your whip. That's rock and roll. Great to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Robert. Lots going on in the news right now. Robert, there's been, I believe, a couple of 100,000, 220,000 foreclosures happening across the country right now. Utility bills are up like 15%. People are falling behind on their bills. Repossessions of cars are happening. This Trump economy, this is really hurting the average American. And I think, what we're really going to see is, the country realize that this economy is not working for them, and it's working for the billionaire class, because those are the ones that are going to have all the tax cuts. And so I'm just really concerned with how all these foreclosures are happening and what's really going to happen around the housing market, especially when this is such a huge part of the American economy.
Absolutely. And it's crazy because we talk about, my loathing Alex Rodriguez, the owner of the Timberwolves now, or part owner, and how he brags about how he owns thousands and thousands of doorknobs, meaning he owns houses, and that's raised what the beginning houses are. They're $100,000 more than they were just 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And so they're driving up the price, and people, it's not affordable for people. And then plus now we have this on again, off again war that Trump started because of the Epstein files. Gasoline again is up to $4 a gallon.
Yeah, Robert. And, when you look at what, these corporate landlords like BlackRock, for instance, who is a private equity firm, what they do is they purchase these single family homes. And just like you as a homeowner, through appreciation and depreciation of the property, they write that off. And they bring that back to their shareholders, right? Who then has those profits, and they continue to buy more and more of these single family homes. And, and that's what Alex Rodriguez is a part of. But I think the bigger part about this is how they artificially drive up the price of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're essentially controlling the market. I've talked to real estate agents. They said that they're literally bidding against computers. Like, computers are like are the ones that are putting in these bids for these homes. And, you know, I just don't think it's fair. And I know that, you know, the Senate made a new bill saying that, you know, apparently, like, this can't happen. The president won't sign it, though, Robert. The president won't sign this bill. So, you know, everyone, I hate to say it, but, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily market conditions that are putting you in this financial position. Rather, it's this president that is putting you, and this administration, and I'll just be honest with you, the Republican Party, who is putting Americans in this horrible financial position right now. And let's not forget, Robert, the cuts that are going to come to the cuts are really going to hit hard in October when the new federal budget starts. And so we're really going to see some bad things across the country right now.
Well, Bob, I think you probably know this, so that he didn't need to sign that bill. After 15 days, it became law. But still, you know, an amazing bill that was bipartisan that he refused to sign because he wants to wants the federal government to control all the elections with his Save Act.
Right. And okay, so that's great. I mean, you know, and that's, we need more of the Republicans joining the Democrats right now to push back on this administration, this president's agenda, because it's just really hurting Americans. The other part about this too, Robert, is there are cities now that are having a hard time meeting their water needs for their communities. Corpus Christi, Texas. Out on the western part of the United States, the Hoover Dam now, from Lake Mead, is literally like going below levels that they've never seen before. And so, Robert, I think what if these, you're going to have like cities that are ghost cities because they don't have any water supply. And what I'm thinking is that these corporations, like we talked about in the beginning of this program, they're going to try and artificially buy up all these homes, price out regular families. And, you know, as people start maybe migrating towards the Midwest, I'm just saying, I just think that, you know, more and more people are going to be priced out of their out of neighborhoods because, you know, these factors are taking place across the country.
Right. Well, and then we're talking about all the flooding and the fires. It's brimstone. I mean, you know, we got Texas with unbelievable amount of rain. And then, of course, the fires up north that we have never seen before until just recently. And there's so many people out there that are climate deniers. And it's right here, right in front of us.
And let's not forget that this administration, this president, cut funding to all of these job producing, fighting the climate opportunities this country and all these organizations, tribal nations, Solar for All, you name it. He cut all of those programs. They would have been producing jobs right now. People, this economy would have been humming along right now if it wasn't for this president and this administration and the Republican agenda. And I'm just telling everybody out there, get out and vote this November. Get these people out of power. They are ruining this country.
And every election matters, Bob. And we've talked about that for years here on Native Roots Radio, you and I. There's, you know, just a few votes in the state Senate could just collapse many things, whether it's the laws that protect states, because states, you know, make laws and the federal government has to really follow them. And we're seeing where with Trump that they're just doing the opposite. They want the federal government to take over. And that really means Trump taking over, whether it's the elections, 2020 when he lost all those lawsuits, for pretending that he lost the election. And there were stopgaps, but we really, really need to talk about that. And, talk about Indian country and how important it is for our relatives to vote and to get out there. It's really do or die right now. Hey, we're with Bob Blake. It's Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we are here with Bob Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Bob, we can mix a little politics and sports here. What a cluster this weekend with the World Soccer Tournament and Trump trying to really take the shine and head it his way.
Yeah, I know. That was great, Robert. There was a couple of the players from Spain that wouldn't shake his hand. And they gave him the peace sign, which was, I thought, was hilarious. And this is actually possibly, more than likely, Lionel Messi's last World Cup. Argentina was trying to repeat back-to-back. And I was kind of pulling for them just because it hasn't happened since, 1960. But, Spain won. They literally only let, two or three goals the entire World Cup, which is unheard of. The goalie was playing lights out of his mind to get the Spain team there to the championship. And of course they won. So that was really cool. And so I'm really happy for Spain. I'm glad they won. I got really into the World Cup. I didn't realize I liked soccer that much until I started watching this. So it was really exciting and really happy for the fans that came here from around the world and visited and got to see America. This isn't our best right now, but we did a pretty good job, I think. I think America did a great job in hosting the World Cup. And I'm just really happy that it all worked out for everybody. So. Yeah, that was pretty cool, though, that they kind of snubbed the president, though. And well, they were booing him, Robert. They were booing him there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and what just to jump on what you had to say about all the people from other countries realizing that America and Americans isn't the government. And I think that was a pleasant surprise for them that we're really nice people here and we're not like the orange one. But did you see how he tried to get in the picture and shake hands and hold the trophy? He got photoshopped out.
I know. And I believe the like World Cup president was like trying to usher him away and he wouldn't leave the stage. It was like, it's just typical Trump. So embarrassing. I just don't know how anyone can think that this guy is a great reflection of our country right now. But wow. Yeah, but you know, it was really cool to see all the people, you know, like the stars that came out to watch the World Cup, all the celebrities. And it was really funny because the commentators that were, you know, ex like World Cup soccer players, they're not in tune with like our celebrities and who they are. And so they would pan the camera right to these celebrities and these commentators had no idea who these celebrities were, like Matt Damon, Patrick Mahomes, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And it was so hilarious that the commentators had no idea who these celebrities were. It was pretty cool too.
Yeah, that is cool. I'm glad you got into it. I'm old enough to remember the Minnesota Kicks, and that was just one big party. I got to see Pelé, who was the greatest soccer player at the time ever, play for the New York Cosmos back in the 70s. It was crazy.
Tino Lateri was the big Minnesota Kicks guy, right?
Yeah.
And his, you know, interesting enough, Robert, his son, like, I think is playing like pro hockey now or something. Like, he went to Minnetonka. Went to Minnetonka and is like, you know, playing. He played for the Gophers. I think he got drafted. So, you know, really good. And I want to say that Tino Lateri married Lou Nanny's daughter or something like that. So it's like there's this big hockey connection there though.
That's awesome. Hey, so I see, and maybe the people watching us, and I do have to mention that too, that we're on social media. We're live and you can see Bob and he's wearing his swag. What's going on with Solar Bear? You're busy as ever. And do you have any updates about what's going on climate wise or anything?
Yeah, Robert, lots happening around data centers. And Sunrun, which is a company that does batteries and solar, are actually paying for customers to have solar and batteries put into their home. And what they're going to do is they're going to aggregate that power and they're going to use it towards the data centers, because these data centers are just so energy intensive. So they're going to spread out essentially the pain by trying to like get customers or get homeowners to take batteries and solar on their home and then have that power redistributed into the grid, where then they could use that power to use for their data center. So interesting. It's a very interesting concept. I kind of like the fact that we're putting more solar and more batteries on the grid. The only part I don't like about it is that it's going to the consumption of these data centers. So, you know, I think we're really going to have to watch this. I'm really skeptical, Robert, on the data centers. I really feel like they're just at a time when we're running out of water. Our energy needs are just getting more and more complex. Is this a good use of our resources? Is really my question. And so there's a lot of talk of data centers being introduced into tribal country. A lot of data center developers are approaching tribal country and basically telling them that, you know, if you guys host this data center here, you're going to create all these jobs and all these opportunities for your community. It's the old workforce development argument, Robert, that they're doing. It's a tale as old as time. But this is what they're promising these tribal communities. And I would just say to all tribal communities, I'm in no position to tell you what to do, but I will say that, you know, tread water lightly, you know, because, you know, these things are super intensive of water and natural resources, energy. And I just don't know if it's going to be good for your community. They're saying too, Robert, that the sound, the vibrations of these data centers are so intrusive that animals and other livestock and other, wild animals are being affected negatively by the humming of these data centers, and people are experiencing health problems too. So tribal nations, please be careful of this. I don't think it's worth it, honestly, Robert.
Well, I also saw an aerial picture of where they put a data center, and not only around it, it like looked like all the leaves and trees died too. So I don't know if that has to do with the vibrations or just what they're doing, the toxicity outside the buildings leaking out. But that was pretty mind blowing. I put that up on my space pages, Facebook. I just was like, are you kidding me? And so these data centers, and I'm glad you mentioned water, because that's the big thing too, not just electricity. They can, you know, maybe figure out the electricity angle, but the water, right?
Yeah. And the other part about this is too, Robert, is apparently that water, there are like secret agreements that these companies are signing with the local municipalities. I think the Hermantown data center people had to sign these agreements, but that water cannot be reused because it's got all kinds of toxins, because it flows through all these like chips of like computers and whatnot. And it's just very toxic. You can't reuse the water. So are we going to have like these big pools of like water now that then can break? Because we saw this with mining companies, right? Say all the time that the toxic sludge in the water is not going to break, it's not going to flow down into the reservoirs or to the aquifers, and yet it does. So and then now you have like, you know, all this toxic water now. When we are in a water, we are probably heading towards a hotter, drier climate, everyone. We need to think about this, and I just don't know if it's worth it, Robert.
Yeah, I agree so much. It's just these things coming in, and really, water is life, and it's crazy because, you know, when you were talking about what happens to the water and how toxic it gets, I was just thinking, you know, back in the day when we were really pushing no new nukes, and you know, Prairie Island has that nuclear power plant right by them, and what are they doing with all that contaminated water? And here we go, here's another situation like that.
Absolutely, Robert, and I really firmly believe that there needs to be a moratorium on this. I think there needs to be new studies. There is a race to get this stuff done because there's these tax incentives that the Trump administration has put in place. So a lot of these data center builders are like trying to recoup these tax credits. So essentially, everybody, you, the ratepayer, the taxpayer, the American citizen, is paying for these data centers.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Bob Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
When you're ready to let go of that car you no longer need, KFAI is ready for you. Our vehicle donation program is available 7 days a week to help you arrange for your free pickup. It's easy, it's free, and it matters. Donate at kfai.careasy.org or call 855-277-2346.
I love it.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Wee-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are here with our friend Bob Blake with Solar Bear with the Solar News. Bob, you've been doing such great work all these years with the solar and really speaking to tribes and keeping the tribes, at the table. And I really appreciate you and appreciate you coming on and having some fun with us and also talking seriously about what's going on. We'll talk a little bit of Solar Bear with the Solar Sports here in just a minute, but I just wanted to finish up our little talk about the amazing thing with these data centers. And, you know, doesn't Google already have a data center in Eagan or in Eagan, Minnesota? Or do they? Because when you use Google, it's like using AI too.
Yeah, I know that Google, I know that the city of Eagan also paused like some type of construction on data centers. I know they were looking at downtown Minneapolis. Minneapolis put a pause on them. And then I know there was that one out going out towards Prairie Island that they were Meta was building that. But I just tell you, Robert, I mean, the only thing I worry about is our ground, is our water. And, you know, you need water to survive. And that's the big part I think everyone needs to understand is, like, our natural resources are not finite. They're not forever. And so we really need to take care of what we have now. And, you know, when I talk about solar panels over, you know, crops, agrivoltaics, it's not that I want to take away cropland. It's the fact that I want to be able to also, you know, the retention of the water in the groundwater. And so that's really important, because what happens is the sun and the extreme heat from climate change, the climate crisis draws out and sucks that all up. And then it carries it like a big lake in the sky and dumps it in like Texas. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, and that's what's happening right now, everyone. And so how do we like start working with the materials that we have so we can, you know, effectively, you know, retain our groundwater supply and take care of it, and giving it all to data centers, I'm telling you, Robert, is the wrong thing to do.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I just want to touch base too on something you said. We dealt with this with Line 3 when it came to talking to the tribes up north and getting jobs for people and economic development. And people that were putting together that pipeline came from all over the country. And then the people that lived up north in northern Minnesota, those people got $20 an hour jobs holding stop signs on the road, and there was no health care. It was just ridiculous and BS.
And Robert, this is the attack. I'm sorry, everybody, but this is the attack from the rich on the poor. That's what this is. This is a class war that's being waged right now. And, you know, unfortunately, our politicians are trying to turn it into a culture war. And, you know, this is, you know, this field saying, you know, money will make you do things you don't want to do. And that's really what's happening here, Robert. And I just want everyone to understand what's being sold to you, because we all want what's best for our communities. We all want what's best for everyone. And so I would strongly encourage everyone not to fall for the culture war argument. Go for the fact that you can't pay your mortgage, you can't pay your groceries. And this is what the Democrats really got to focus on this next election, is that argument around finances. And if they do that, Robert, it's going to be a clear sweep across the board.
Well, and hopefully when they do sweep, that we can really get some laws in there to really protect the American people. And that's the thing that It's just always so bizarre. The Republicans mess everything up, and then the Democrats come in and fix it, you know, whether it's the economy or whatever, and then the Republicans, you know, come back and, you know, mess it up again. And it's just an amazing cycle that people don't give the Democrats long enough time to fix everything. And, of course, there's these midterm elections that turn sideways on us, and it's just hopefully that's going to change and people are more awake of what's going on.
Well, yeah, Robert. I mean, it's the whole thing about this country. Never faced the original sin, right? Slavery, the genocide of Native people, right? We've never faced that head on. Germany has done that with the Holocaust. The other part about this is, you know, they're always playing the culture war, right? They're always playing that. And, you know, let's be honest, the rich have been doing this to the poor for centuries. And so we gotta all come together, realize that the chips are with the rich. They have it. And the perfect example of this is Mackenzie Scott, who has given away billions of dollars. And she's now richer more than she was when she started. And yeah, she's given more money away to causes across the country than any other rich person has done in the history of mankind. And she's got more money now than when she started, Robert.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. You'll have to explain that one to me. How does that work?
Well, it's called compound interest. And when you got billions of dollars into the stock market, you're gonna make more and more money. And that's exactly what's happening. And the stock market is at all-time highs. And mm-hmm. she just keeps on giving away the money across the country. She's giving away more money than any other rich person has. And literally she's got more money than what she started with. So, I mean, I'm just saying this is the problem. And so when they say that you can't tax the rich and we're getting trillionaires now, people wake up.
Right. Well, and the whole attack on my lifetime in the 70s, 75% or 70% of the people were in unions. And then when Ronnie Reagan came in and busted all the unions, now it's less than 25% of the people. That's what happened to the middle income and the middle class.
Well, I would also say, too, that was also the time that the Republicans stopped, wanting to put money into education. So if you can dumb down the public, well, there you go. They don't know how to vote. If you can go ahead, they don't want to make good decisions for themselves. If you can go ahead and put out the propaganda, that's when they got rid of the Truth Act. That's when Rupert Murdoch formed Fox News, you know, filled the airwaves with nonsense and lies. And this has all been by design, everybody. And I'm telling you, it is really a fight for our democracy and for the United States of America this November.
Absolutely. I'm glad we're talking about this, Bob. Hey, we got a few more minutes here, and I know I just want to give a shout out to our Wisconsin people because we got a big audience out there in Wisconsin. The Brewers are doing great. This is the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. I just want to give them a big shout out, and I want to get down there and watch a game in Milwaukee. And and then our Twins are faltering a little bit, but what else do you got for us, Bob? Because I know you keep track of all the sports.
Well, the LeBron watch is still happening. LeBron James has not picked a team to go to yet. They're saying that he's got a good opportunity with the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves have got a good team. I think they can make a run at the championship again. If they had LeBron, I think they would get the championship. So that's going to be interesting to watch. They still have a lot of money. I think $30 million or something they can spend. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Minnesota Twins, like you said, are faltering. But, you know, there's still a couple games out of first. So I'll take it. It's after the All-Star break. I did see Joe Ryan pitch in the All-Star game. Yeah. That was really cool. Love seeing the Minnesota Twins in the All-Star game. Minnesota Vikings, Kyler Murray. Says he needs more reps if he's going to be the starting quarterback. I tend to agree with him. Let's just focus in on our starting quarterback right now. And then the Minnesota Lynx are just, they're on top of the WNBA. They are winning. Olivia Miles is probably going to get the Rookie of the Year MVP, our Rookie of the Year, and possibly get the MVP, Robert. So this is just a super exciting time for Minnesota sports. And that's the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports.
Well, I want to jump back to the Lynx, and it's going to be Native American Heritage Night. I think it's the 28th. And so we'll be knocking on your door at your suite there, Bob. Let us in this time at the Lynx. And then also, I think Joe Ryan had some kind of record yesterday of giving up the most home runs or something unbelievable. So we have to pray for our Minnesota Twins to keep winning and keep pushing.
Well, I think the only way the Twins are going to, you know, be a contender is if the ownership spends some money. So that's something that's up in the air right now, but they have been amazing. They have played small ball. They have played money ball. They got the money, Robert. I'd like to see them spend some dollars and bring in some relief pitching for those guys, because that's really what they need.
Hey, so we're ending up right now, and how can people keep track of what you're doing? And give me your website and your social media out there, because I know people have been asking about, hey, how do I keep track other than the once a week that Bob's on your radio show? How do I keep track of Solar Bear?
Yeah, solarbear.earth and nativesun.org. Go to our websites. You'll see what's happening. We're expanding the electric nation across the country, connecting tribal nations with EV charging stations. And Solar Bear is still building solar projects across Turtle Island. So really excited and really happy. And thank you for all your support, everyone. Miigwech.
Well, thanks, Bob. Again, give me the last call there. It's the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. Let's hear it.
That's the Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Hey, up next, Misko and I will be talking about her journey yesterday at First Avenue. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back right after this short break. Thanks, Bob.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and it was great to hear from Bob Blake from Red Lake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News. And now we're going to talk to the producer, our friend Misko here. And Misko, you had an adventure yesterday. I'd love for you to talk to the audience about your experience at First Avenue. And again, thank you for everything you do for Native Roots Radio and the community, and great to have you on.
Bonjour, Gaganaouia. Hello, everybody. My name is Misko. I guess being here working for Native Roots Radio, I'm getting more involved or just interested in learning about what's happening in politics and kind of just overall like what's happening in the United States and in Minnesota. So yeah, I went to First Avenue yesterday for the Many Over the Money rally, and that was very interesting. It was my first time actually in First Avenue, so that was nice. Yeah, and then just hearing like Bernie speak for the first time in person, I think that was really interesting. I liked it, and I had a good time. I went by myself. I was nervous, you know, I get nervous to go downtown because I'm a young lady, but once I was in there, I felt fine, and then, you know, just had to go to my car, and I felt great like afterwards, and I feel more informed and kind of learned about what's going on nowadays.
Yeah, there was a lot of speakers there. I wasn't able to hear them all, but I think we got some clips that we can play later on this week or early next week. Interesting, you know, Keith Ellison spoke. There was a band. Also, Ilhan Omar was there, and Bernie. And then, of course, the lieutenant governor that was there. And it looked like it was jam-packed.
Oh, yeah, it was. I did not find a seat. But like I said, I really enjoyed what I was hearing. I know throughout the rally, they focused on issues including the rising cost of living, access to health care, workers' rights, protecting Social Security and Medicare for families and for the working class, and then the influence of wealthy donors and large corporations in politics. And, you know, I don't know, being my age, it's like I don't hear about like all of this that's going on, but I do feel the effects of it happening. And before, when I was younger, I would be like, oh, it doesn't matter if I vote because, you know, whatever I think isn't going to change anything. I'm just one person. But when you're in a room full of people who, you know, view the same way, and then just hearing about how, like, you as one person can influence other people in your life, you know, I want to tell my younger brother, he's 19 now and he wasn't able to vote, during the last election, but now he is old enough to vote. And so just kind of informing myself and then bringing the rest of my family along and just saying like, hey, like, even if you don't think it's important to me and this is why you should do it. And hopefully, you know, I can get them out to the polls with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, we find out that sometimes you 60 votes makes a difference, and then it changes law, you know, it changes laws. And so one vote really, really makes a difference. And I'm glad you're seeing that and you're hearing that and speaking your truth, because that's one of the things we really try to get over here is to vote. And you know, I don't know if you know this, we talk about it a lot here, but I know a couple cycles ago, the 2020 election, make voting a tradition and rock the vote Native style up north, registered 9,000 Native Americans that had never voted before. And that's huge. And that made a big difference in the election, for Walls, probably. You know, won by roughly that. So we may be small, but we are mighty, and we do make a difference in a lot of elections, Misko, all over the country.
Oh, yeah, I know that's true. And I think one thing, especially as Natives, you know, we're like, I feel like America happened to Turtle Island, and, you know, we're resisting, and we're always, you know, using our voices and our heritage to stay strong within ourselves. But we do live in this economy, we're in this current day. And again, I always say we have to learn how to live in two worlds, and two things can be true at once. You can be traditional, but also you can stand up for your rights and stand up for what you believe in, you know, in the Western way. And I think voting is just one of those things that we need more education on, and so that we can get, you know, more Native Americans in legislature, making laws and representing us in higher levels of power. Arvina said before, just being on the school board or, you know, trying to have a Native person run for higher positions of power. Yeah.
Yeah, I talk about this a lot, Misko. I'm glad you brought that up because there was such a big difference between my experience with Native knowledge in Wisconsin than in Minnesota, because we had all these lawmakers that were Native American that were educating our allies. And, you know, we don't have any in Wisconsin, and we do, you know, and so we really, really need to get the young ones out there like yourself and people your age to really get involved in politics as Native people. And we really, really need to get our Native people to run. And, you know, Mary Kunish, the state senator here in Minnesota, does a great job, but she's all by herself when it comes to being a Native state senator here in Minnesota. So we just need more people to step up, and we're going to support them, and it'll make a big difference for us as Natives to have a voice. And that's really important. And that's probably a lot why you don't understand. I don't mean understand, but aren't into politics, because it's really not out there. They make it really confusing. They let lies go through, so you don't know who's telling the truth. So it can be exhausting. So I'm glad you're learning from our guests here on Native Roots Radio, but it still is exhausting. It's a lot to learn and a lot to hear every day what the federal government's doing to us, and then the lies that come through the state government officials. And it's just a lot. I can't imagine how you're feeling, really.
Yeah, and I think one thing we need to remember that it was just barely over 100 years ago where we got, as Native Americans, the right to vote. I'm going to read something. I think it's from the Native American Rights Fund really quick. It says, for most Americans, the right to vote is guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. However, the federal government denied Native American voting rights until 1924. And right now, it's 2026, so that was, 102 years ago that we got the right to vote. And some states waited until the 1960s to extend this vital right. Mm-hmm. Native Americans still face discriminatory laws and unreasonable burdens trying to exercise the right to vote. And that's something that we've heard talked about before, was being intimidated going into, you know, the polls, not having access to go to the polls. And that's why we're grateful for, you know, Make Voting a Tradition and these other, you know, groups that bring Natives to the polls and try to educate on how, like, important this is for us.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Thanks for bringing that up and reading that. You know, I always talk about, like, you know, the Freedom Religion Act that happened in 1978. I was a junior in high school, so that isn't ancient history either, you know, that we could do our own religion in this country. You know, there's a lot of things that people don't know and understand. And whenever we tell people that, they're really blown away by that fact that, you know, until 1978, we couldn't freely do our own religion.
Yeah, and it's ironic that, you know, religion's the reason why, you know, people wanted to do westward expansion, but here we are. We are still holding on to our language. We're still holding on to our culture. As you always say, we're still here. I'm here, you're here, and I'm just grateful to have a voice and to be able to learn our history, to be able to pass it on to the next generation.
Wow, we're going to end it like that. Big Pini Gigi Misko, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio, and that was Misko, and we'll be back tomorrow. We'll see ya.
Ho.
With a library card, you can access library resources without leaving home, on your phone, tablet, or computer. Services include online tutoring for kids in grades K through 12, job skills, newspapers in multiple languages, and more. Trusted information, learning, and support is available anytime, wherever you are. Learn more at your local library's website or melsa.org to get started.
I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners,
and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are with our friend Colette Lawrence, and we're talking a little bit about the Hennepin County Heart Health at the Native American Indian Center in Minneapolis. And we're talking specifically about pickleball, but there's other things going on, too, that you do there. And what I really like to hear about is those meals that you have for our elders. But tell us a little bit more about the other activities that the Minneapolis American Indian Center is supporting. And again, welcome back. Thanks for being on, Colette.
Thank you. You know, the Indian Center is really busy. We have, you know, several programs here besides the Native Elder Support Team. We have a Boys and Girls Club targeting the Native community. We also have our CLAN program, the Cultural Language and Arts Network, along with the Native Fan Fitness and Nutrition Program. So the NEST program is housed within the FAN program specifically because of the fitness and nutrition aspect that FAN offers. You know, we have very high rates of diabetes and other chronic health conditions within our community. And so we're really trying to help to address those. A lot of our elders that come in for morning enrichment may go into the fitness center or into the gym to simply walk around our gym. 18 laps around the gym is the equivalent to 1 mile. We have about a handful of elders who come. So like today, you know, it's really hot. I haven't been outside since I got into the building this morning, but I've asked a couple of the elders when they were coming in, is it hot out there? And they're like, yes, it is. You know, so, you know, once they get here, I always tell people, once you get into the building, you're safe, you know, so they'll go in either into the gym to go walk, or they'll go maybe lift some light weights or use an elliptical machine in the fitness center. But, you know, we're really busy. We have a congregate lunch program Monday through Friday here. On Wednesday evening is our drum and dance. On Tuesday night, it's pickleball. And Wednesday night, it's drum and dance, you know. So there's different, you know, you'd have to take a look at our schedule. Every week, a schedule gets posted so people are aware. It's on a rolling screen right by the front entry. So you can kind of see what's going on within the building every day. And I do believe it gets posted online, too.
Yeah, I see it all over social media, too. Natalie does a great job of posting stuff all over, and guys are lucky to have her. She's awesome. So what other, you know, those are a lot of great activities. What can people go do, learn more, and how do they get involved more? How can people get involved?
Well, it depends on how you want to get involved or in which program. Like we even have the CLAN program has a sewing circle that they have. I call it a sewing circle because we want people to know all are welcome, including men. You know, some of the best sewers I know are men, you know. So, we have certain different things that I think some people might think, it's not just for women. Men are definitely invited to those things, too. You just have to really keep your eye out on our website.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful building, and with the renovation. I love going down there when I'm on the avenue, on Franklin Avenue, the Native American corridor, and all the activity that's going on, whether it's Native American Community Clinic being rebuilt and a beautiful big building, and then down the street there's another clinic being built in the Native community, and just... Proud, and you know, being an older person, just how much Franklin Avenue has changed for the good all these years. It's just amazing.
Right. I think all the changes are all for the best for our community.
Yeah. So again, how can people get a hold of you or get a hold of the activities? There's Facebook and also a great website.
Yes. though, you know what? I'm not on no social media, so it's, you'd have to call me or email me directly here at the Indian Center. You know,
all of
our email addresses are the initial of our first name and then our last name, and then it's at maicnet.org. So, I mean, if you knew that, then you'll know how to get a hold of anyone, if as long as you know their first and last name.
Yeah, Minneapolis Indian Center, and just great things. So much, you know. Let's just talk about the center for real quick too. Along with your program, you got Charlie's shop there. You have Gatherings Cafe. You have the workout room. You have rooms to rent if you have anything going on.
We have the art gallery.
Yes, it's really beautiful. I just saw that. Again, recently, somebody's really taken whole ownership of that. It looks great.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So anything else that you'd like to bring up?
Well, you know what? I think that, you know, remembering that we are very, resilient community, you know? We mm-hmm. come together when we need to, though we're always together anyways, you know. But I think one of our stronger aspects for all of our programming is our intergenerational, intentional things that we do around programming, you know, and keeping our elders and our young people together. I always want to talk about that because I think that it's one of the strengths within our community is the intergenerational component. You know, that we're our elders are always high on that radar of, you know, when things happen, like when COVID happened, you know, and, you know, a lot of communities struggled and we, you know, understanding that struggle and just all came together and did what we needed to do for our people, for our elders and even for our young people, you know. So we're a resilient group of people, you know, and though we do have struggles, we overcome those, you know, and we tend to come out better on the other end, you know, though going through it sometimes might not always seem like it, but we come out better usually.
Wow. Those are really great points, especially with what's happened with the surge, the federal surge,
right.
Just all the things that have happened in Minneapolis and how resilient the community has stepped up and the Minneapolis American Indian Center and all these great organizations have stepped up. And so how long have you been at the Minneapolis American Indian Center?
I am coming up to my 10 years actually next month. August 22nd will be 10 years that I've been here. And, you know, I feel very fortunate to be working in a job that, like, we were just talking about this at a site visit for a grant that we applied for, and I said it just seems like I just started yesterday, you know. And sad to say that a lot of people can't say that about their jobs, you know, but I just really enjoy the work that I'm doing and the people I'm working with and for, more importantly, and that's our elders.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like, too, how the community, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, is that it's not just the Native community that you're supporting. It's when we're doing well, everybody's doing well. And that's an important thing that that I really get from the Hennepin County Heart Health initiative that you're working on and everything else that the Minneapolis Indian Center is working on. So I just want to say a big thank you and a big peeny geegee for being on and speaking your truth and telling our listening audience about everything.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me too.
Well, this has been great. Thank you. And this has been Colette Lawrence, who is the Minneapolis American Indian Center person with the program, Hennepin County's program, Health and Heart. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we are going to be back tomorrow. And everyone have a great day. And if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and play pickleball. Well, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are the Halusa Nation. We have been
called Pinigi again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
We have been called Native America.
KFAI.
We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.